This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Welcome to Frequent Milers Coffee Break, where we focus on a single topic related to miles and points.
And each coffee break is limited to 20 minutes or less, or your money back.
Today's coffee break, the aftermath of the major Mesa mess. The Mesa homeowner's card abruptly closed all accounts on Friday without any warning. To say we were like surprised and didn't see this coming is an understatement. It was just like 2 weeks before that they had added a new hotel partner, Omni Hotels, which no other transferable points program has or had. Now that's past tense. And so it seemed like they were, you know, investing in the program. And boom, emails went out on Friday saying, effective immediately, your Mesa homeowner's card account will be closed, said some other things. And then this account closure has nothing to do with your account standing and is not the result of any wrongdoing or actions taken by you with regards to your account, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, basically they just shut off the lights.
Yeah, and instantly became the top candidate for our Bon Void of the Year award because, my goodness, like without warning, without any sort of, there were no problems really until a couple of days before some people started having issues with transactions being declined and customer service was saying that, you know, it was a known issue. They were working on it, but it didn't seem to be everybody or all transactions necessarily. And then all of a sudden on Friday, yeah, just boom, your account has closed. Your card has been deactivated. And of course your points were left in a pile that was seemingly untouchable. Although initially, when we posted about it, there were a couple of workarounds. There was a workaround to redeem points for a statement credit, and then later someone in the comments of Doctor of Credit found a workaround to transfer points to partners. I don't think either of those are active anymore at this point, but they were at least for a couple of days, it seemed. There were some ways, if you worked hard, to kind of do that. Though it was a mess. I mean, because it wasn't straightforward or easy. And all of a sudden, people were left with a whole bunch of points and no way to redeem them.
Yeah. I mean, even those who did redeem, including our own team member, Tim, who cashed out for only 0.6 of a cent per point. That's terrible value. Even people who did that lost out. But then a lot of people are stuck with points, no way to cash out. And even more people have a lot of pending points that they would have wanted to transfer out or cash out, but they're not able to. And it doesn't seem very likely that those points will ever appear. So major, major downer for all of them. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing anything like this with a credit card before. I mean, we've seen other startup businesses that are fintech adjacent, but not credit cards that I can remember. Where this is amazing.
No, it's unprecedented. Unprecedented. Yeah, I mean, we heard they offered a welcome bonus a couple of months ago, and we heard from at least one reader, and I'm sure there were plenty of others who was very close to meeting the spending requirement to unlock the bonus. I think it was something like 50,000 points or something, right? And of course, the account just got closed before they were able to complete that. And that, like, we've never heard of anything like that before. And like you said, I can't think of a credit card rewards program where it just entirely shut down, at least not in my time playing in this game. So yeah, this is awful, terrible, terrible look. But let's back up a step, because there probably are some people listening who aren't familiar with the Mesa homeowner's card. So what was the Mesa homeowner's card?
Yeah, so here's what it was. It was an opportunity to earn a 1 point per dollar on your mortgage payments. You didn't make mortgage payments with the card. It's just that they would verify what your mortgage payments were, give you 1 point per dollar up to 100,000 per year, as long as you had a certain amount of spend on your credit card each month. And it had no annual fee. It gave you these rewards for paying mortgage. It also had great 3X categories, some 2X categories as well, and a decent selection of transfer partners. So, all these ways of getting points and some compelling transfer partners resulted in a very compelling card. And we've talked about it on the show, how I was thinking of applying for it, even though I don't have a mortgage to pay. So I wouldn't have gotten those free points, but The 3X categories and the transfer partners made it attractive. Anyway, that's a little history lesson at this point.
Right,
so,
right.
so,
so, yeah, so what have we learned from this? I mean, what's, you know, we both obviously thought this was a compelling card. We talked about why. What do we learn from this fiasco?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the first question I'm going to ask is, should we hesitate in the future to jump on when we see an opportunity that's too good to be true? Should we be more hesitant to jump on it? What do you think?
My perspective is no, I wouldn't be hesitant to jump on the opportunity and take advantage of the opportunity. What I would be hesitant, perhaps, is to hang on to the points in a case like this for a long period of time without any idea as to the long-term stability. If it was something new like that that came around that was, again, new to the scene and unknown. I mean, in this case, the backing bank was a bank that I had never heard of, and Googling them, it seems like they've had quite a few troubles lately. So there were a lot of things here that I guess in hindsight would have made me, if I had thought about all of those things, perhaps think about using the points sooner rather than later. I mean, I there's been so many of these opportunities over time that have come and gone. I mean, you think about things like Pepper Rewards, which was a gift card rewards app that was around for, I don't know, a year, maybe more than that. And then all of a sudden folded months ago, earlier this year. And it seemed too good to be true for a long time. But the truth is, it wasn't for all of the people who took advantage of it. It was in the end for people who had banked up a huge balance of rewards and not used them. But for the people that earned and used the points, it was a fantastic deal for a long time that lasted for quite a while. And so in a lot of these situations, I look at it and say, well, I mean, I want to take advantage of the opportunity while it's there. I think that for me, the takeaway here, more than anything else, would be to think about my faith in whatever it is and say, okay, well, do I want to bank rewards in this program for a long period of time or not? Because there are certainly programs where I do bank lots of rewards for a long period of time. And I should know where they're fine. You know, I mean, look at all the shopping portals out there. I've had shopping portal accounts at tons of different little shopping portals that probably some people have never even heard of that are still there and redeemable and, you know, haven't gone away. And so I've had enough faith to keep them there because those sites have stuck around. So there are plenty of those smaller things where I would keep rewards. In this case, I guess maybe people should have transferred out sooner. And I say people as though like we're playing Monday morning quarterback here because, you know, it's obvious to say now that everyone should have redeemed their points sooner. But
I mean, but we did a whole show about why it's sometimes beneficial to hoard your points, keep them for when, especially transferable points, keep them for when you have a great opportunity to use them. So anyone who listened to that, I mean, it would have made sense to keep the Mesa points as transferable points and use them when the opportunity arose. But that turned out in this example to be bad advice. No, I think you're exactly right, though, about the bigger picture is that with these too good to be true opportunities that come out, usually they are startups that are, you know, have some kind of funding. They're burning through a lot of cash quickly to try to get customers and try to, you know, make a splash. And that burning through money often translates to a really good deal for a while. Now timing it so that you get in on that good deal without getting burned is tricky. But there's no question in my mind that if I avoided all of the these too good to be true deals because they might die, I would have missed out on far more rewards than I ever got burned by. So I think what Nick said about like it's more about how long do you trust them to keep your points with them instead of you using them. And so let's talk about a couple examples of other programs where this question is going to come up. So we're not going to talk about things like Chase points or City points. Those are big businesses that, you know, even if they had major problems and wanted to close down those programs, they would honor the points people already have in some way. I mean, I feel very confident about that. But you have some, you know, less long-term reliable brands, I guess, that you have to question. To me, the top one is Rove Miles because it came out of the blue, you know, probably less than a year ago. They give you transferable points in exchange for buying hotel stays through their site. They have a shopping portal on their site that gives you points, and you could also buy airfare through their site to get these transferable points. Referring people is another way to get Rove miles. And I think that their business is it's not proven yet, right? So yeah. What do you think? Would you hold on to your Rove miles long term at this point? Welcome to our first ever homemade HostRed ad. Built is a loyalty program that famously rewards you for paying rent.
But of course, there are many other ways to earn Built points. You can earn points booking travel or fitness classes, or just by linking the credit cards that you already use every day at participating restaurants, Walgreens, and when you pick up a Lyft.
And Built has a fantastic set of transfer partners.
Don't forget that Built regularly offers huge transfer bonuses too. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbuilt.com/miles. That's joinbuilt.com/miles. Make sure to use our URL so they know that we sent you.
Now back to the show.
You know, I think that you have to kind of prioritize which points you would use first. And I think, in my opinion, if I were going to be using a Rove transfer partner that also partners with my Amex points and Chase points and whatever else, I'd probably look to transfer Rove miles first, because that just makes sense to me to transfer the points that are less established, I suppose, and yeah, also more limited in use. I'd probably be transferring those first is what I would say. Now, would I not book a hotel in the future through Rove? No, I mean, of course I'll continue to, if I have a need that fits, I would still book and earn the miles. I would just look to use those miles sooner rather than later. Now, that said, that's a pretty different business to me, because they're obviously earning a commission on the hotel bookings and passing some of that along. And maybe it's a loss later. You know, they could be losing money on how much they're giving out right now. But they have a lot of room probably to dial that back and just reduce the rewards on that, and or incentivize people to redeem points in ways that are better for them and not as costly. So I would think that it's unlikely that we would see that just disappear overnight. We would see kind of a dialing back of the rewards or a change in the redemption, or maybe the transfer ratios would change. Now, of course, you could say all of that should have been true about Mesa as well, that you would have expected some of those things before they just all of a sudden up and seem to have closed up shop. And I say seem to have closed up shop because I don't think we've received any official word from Mesa about what's going on, apart from the message on their website that all of the credit cards have been closed. And as I said, Celtic Bank seems has some legal issues on their hands right now, if you look around at the news. So there may be other reasons in play there. I would expect it's unlikely that they're just going to close overnight. Most of the time, when we've seen things like this, like I mentioned Pepper Rewards earlier, people have been around the game for a long time. Remember the Plastic Merchant, which was a gift card resale site that went out of business and a lot of people lost money. But in those cases, there were some warning signs. I mean, there were times when, for instance, with Pepper Rewards, where the points started posting more slowly, or there were more errors, and then certain brands became unavailable for a while, and then they came back and they were unavailable again. So there were some warning signs that things weren't great in Pepperland. Same thing with the Plastic Merchant. Checks started bouncing, and then they got made good, and then they started bouncing again, and then they got made good. And so there were some warning signs that things were not going perfectly. And so I think usually, most of the time, we're going to see some of those signs before we're going to see everything disappear. This was pretty unusual.
Yeah, it really was. And it wasn't as obviously a bad business as Pepper Rewards was. Like Pepper Rewards was giving way more rewards to you for things like Amazon gift cards than any other program out there gave anywhere close to. So, you know, it's clear they were losing money on every one of those. So that was obvious. With this one, I mean, like, you know, I say too good to be true, but the reality is I didn't apply for it because it was like, it was good, but not a spectacular deal. So it seemed like it could have been a sustainable program from my point of view. Anyway, the other one we need to talk about is, you can't talk about the program that rewards you for paying for mortgage without talking about the program that rewards you for paying rent and has announced that they're going to be rewarding you for paying mortgage in 2026.
So what do you think, Craig? I mean, what about Bilt? Are you nervous about Bilt? Are you like, you know, you can transfer all your points out? I mean, what's the story? What do you think?
So from everything I've seen with Bilt, they have a really strong business model. Their business, like there's been some really big public issues around their credit card when they were with Wells Fargo. And so that generated a lot of press, but most of their business isn't about that. Most of their business has to do with selling their services basically to apartment building owners and landlords, and also services to neighborhood merchants who they kind of connect the two up together, and Bilt gets a piece of all these transactions as rewards flow around the process. It's a very complicated business model, but from everything I've seen, it's a very attractive business model. So I feel really good, solid about their business model. I think at worst, this is sort of a negative press thing for Bilt, that like, because it's going to look bad that like, oh, rewarding for mortgage is a bad business deal. But we've already seen signs with some of the things they're doing with rent where it's not really a too good to be true situation. Like the United card, they just came out with like, oh, you'll earn 2 United miles per dollar, but you have to pay 3%. I mean, I don't want to do that, even if I'm for anything, let alone paying rent. So, you know, I think we'll see things like that with mortgage, and it's not going to look like a too good to be true situation at all.
That would be my guess as well. I mean, it seems like a pretty different thing. And I think that a lot of people focus on the Bilt credit card because, of course, we're into credit card rewards, but miss the forest for the trees and think that the Bilt credit card is the like core centerpiece of the program. And it just doesn't seem like that's actually the case. And the negative headlines that they received, you know, between them and Wells Fargo, I think were more Wells Fargo wasn't particularly happy with how that thing was going, which tells me that it was costing Wells Fargo, not that it was costing Bilt. Right, and so right. It seems to me like that's a very different situation from Mesa. You know, obviously time will tell. And I mentioned before that I would prioritize using points and miles from programs that are less established before using points and miles from programs that are more established. And that's generally the process I take. Now, Bilt has been around at this point for, I don't know, what, four years, five years? I don't know. I'm not sure exactly how many years, but several years at this point. Mm-hmm. So it's not brand new, but it's obviously way newer than some of the other banks, you know, in the game. Sure. So I would still probably look at using those points ahead of others, although you have to kind of balance that out with the rent day transfer bonuses, you know, because sometimes those are really good and hanging on for some of those. I mean, truthfully, I'm probably going to continue to hang on to those and wait and see if a rent day lines up, you know, but obviously everybody's going to have to make their own decisions as far as that goes. But it feels a lot different to me. Rove and Bilt feel different than Mesa does. And I think Mesa, no matter what you say about anybody else, stands out as an outlier that we wouldn't have expected something like this to happen so abruptly. And so, of course, since we didn't expect that, who knows what else we don't expect that could happen in the future. But like Greg said at the beginning, I think both of us have benefited significantly over the years from deals that seemed fantastic. And whether they lasted or not, we took advantage of them while we could. And I think that's still going to continue to make sense going forward. I think it's a big mistake when people say, oh, this sounds too good to be true, so I'm not going to do it. And I've heard that so many times on terrific deals over the years and thought to myself, you are missing out on this deal. And yeah, it might not last forever, but let's enjoy it while it does. Right. You know, oh, so
totally as well. So many things have happened like that over the years. And you just have to chuckle when you see people saying exactly that the conclusion usually should be the opposite. If it's this incredible deal that's not going to last, then get in on it before it ends. And I understand that's not a comforting thought right now for those of you who lost points with the Mesa mess.
Of course.
And we feel for you there, but I don't think that's I think that you'd be taking the wrong lesson out of it if you avoid all of the deals going forward.
Yeah. And like you said, it's the terrible situation, awful for anyone that got stuck here. And Mesa said that they're going to follow up with communication about what's going to happen with rewards. And I don't think any of us feel good about that at this point, because there's been very little communication since the account closures. And that does absolutely stink in this case. But hopefully, if you keep following and you have been following for a long time, you've been able to take advantage of enough things that you can look at this and keep some perspective and say, well, this really stinks. But probably overall in the long term, if you're following this hobby and taking advantage of the deals, you'll come out pretty well ahead. Again, not great comfort today for people that had a lot of Mesa points, but hopefully this will be an isolated thing.
Well said.
Don't forget, if you've enjoyed this and you'd like to get on our email list, you want to go to frequentmiler.com/subscribe to join our email list, follow us on all the various social media, and check out our Frequent Miler on the Air episodes dropping every Friday.
Hi, I'm David Brody, co-host of the Travel in 10 podcast. Together, myself and my co-host Tim Johnson have traveled to over 150 countries around the world and all seven continents. Now we're sharing our favorite places, some of our best tips and experiences from all around the world in just 10 minutes on Travel in 10. Join us at voyescape.com.
Hey, I'm DeAndre Koch, financial advisor, world traveler, and host of Revolutionizing Your Journey. If you're ready to unlock luxury without the luxury price tag, this show is for you. Each week, I sit down with experts to reveal how to fly in $10,000 business and first class seats for 90% off and stay in five-star resorts for nearly free using the power of points and miles. From insider tips to real traveler stories, you'll get the tools to travel smarter and see the world differently. Find Revolutionizing Your Journey at voyescape.com.